Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Good Saturday afternoon to you.
Yeah, and Derek, thank you for coming back in.
Yeah, no problem.
He was out on location today at the show. I'm down at the mall. I'm sure it came off all right. Yeah, yeah. He didn't go.
I was here kind of working with Dan Martin, and Linda Hughes was out there in front of the Sears store with the Salvation Army in the toy drive.
Oh, yes.
1,600 toys for 1,600 boys and 1,600 girls.
Yeah, go to whamradio.com, and if you want to donate an unwrapped, we got to say unwrapped because we got to know if it's for a boy or a girl. So please bring those toys. Call us at the station.
No, you right? Take the toys to one of our sponsor locations, which are listed on whamradio.com. WhamTalk 1600, of course, is where we're at, but the website officially is whamradio.com.
Yeah, so there's a lot of drop-off places. There's one near you.
Yes.
Christmas is closing in, so we want to make sure nobody goes without a present this year. It's Christmas. We should be playing Christmas music, but I'm already Christmas musicked out, frankly. Let's take care of some business before we get into the meat of the show. Today's half hour sponsor is Levy Insurance out of Pinckney, Michigan, downtown Pinckney, 734-878-3030. That's Levy Insurance. You can get it's the season for savings from auto owners insurance. So you can get hold of the guys at Levy Insurance, 734-878-3030. Or you can go to www.levyinsurance.com. That's L-A-V-E-Y insurance.com. Good?
Good.
Good. Okay, so Ferguson and all that stuff, and now the Eric Garner case in New York. We're going to touch on that a little bit, but you know what? For me, it's like smoke and mirrors. There's a lot of important stuff still going on that we're not seeming to be paying attention to at this point, right?
I have no idea. I'm not paying attention.
It's happening to all of us. Well, two things real close that I wanted to talk about, and it's just my told-you-so type of thing. Back here in Michigan, Michigan road funding bills are kind of swapping back and forth. The Senate and Rick Snyder seem to want to jab us in the behind for 40 cents a gallon in over a three-year period.
Which is a doubling of the existing rate of around 20 cents, correct?
Yes, and it's an outrage. I mean, number one, I think I've had road commissioners tell me that the current tax funding, they're not getting all of it anyways. It's being robbed and sent off to different areas. So I think there's obviously something that can be done with the existing system. And the state legislature is thinking about doing that. And there was a story in the Ann Arbor News or MLive, whatever they call it now.
It's like a bank. It just keeps
changing names. Yes. Anyways, stating that the Michigan road funding bill could take $8 million from Ann Arbor schools. Now, that's somebody saying that from the Great Lakes Economic Consulting. It's economist Mitch Bean, who's probably a raging liberal anyways. But all I can say to the Ann Arbor schools is, you know what? You guys had a chance to pick up 1,000 students from Whitmore Lake schools and have some additional money that maybe would have helped if this were going to happen. And I had one guy, I think I talked about this before, some guy called me up and said, you know, we don't want your kids and we don't want your debt and blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking to myself, well, okay, that's pretty short-sighted because Whitmore
Where's
Lake.
Where's the love?
Yeah, Whitmore Lake schools.
Where's the socialist, we're all together in this.
Yeah, that district has the first three exits north of Ann Arbor on US 23. You don't think those three exits are going to grow at some point. There's been a lot of people foot dragging and trying to stop it, but it will happen eventually. And when it does, you're talking billions of dollars of commercial property that will be taxed for millions of dollars a year. And so Ann Arbor School District, you know, anyone who voted against it, you made a huge long-term mistake for your school district because it would have been just millions of dollars.
Hey, I say to the Ann Arbor School District, once they start whining about any type of in their mind, funding shortfall because of the hocus pocus with the roads funds.
Hocus pocus?
Hocus pocus, shell game, accounting tricks, diversion, whatever you want to call it is. Why don't we take a look at Ann Arbor school teachers and administrators, salaries, pensions, health care. Let's review that as do a little market test.
Yeah, they get paid pretty well, I think, in Ann Arbor.
Very well.
Yeah.
And let's take a look at that, and let's see if we should address that first before taxes are raised to supplant any diversion from them to roads.
Yeah, you know, for me, the biggest thing with school districts is the level of administration. You know, every school district has a school principal or school principals at every school. There's a school superintendent and all his staff for every school district and a school board. And then they report to an intermediate school district, which has a board and staff and an intermediate school board superintendent, who then report to the state school board and state school superintendent and all their staff. Why don't you get rid of the intermediate school districts? What's the point of that?
That's for special needs kids or troubled kids.
No, but no, they take
ISD.
Care of that part, but they oversee everything. And imagine you drive past the intermediate school office over there on, I think it's at Wagner Road or something here in Ann Arbor. That's a giant building. How many people are in there, and what do they do to educate our children?
Yeah, I think those are kids. It's almost like a, and I'm totally not, you know, a student of that, but I think it's almost a last chance type school for kids.
That's not actual school. That's an actual administrative building.
Well, it was an actual school at one point in time because I knew of some people that actually went there.
Oh, well, there might
and
be
attended classes.
Yeah, there might be another school attached to that, but they've got a big administrative building there, and every school district has this intermediate school district building that people get paid big money to hang out.
Yeah, my point though is the teachers too. It shouldn't be just the administrators. It should be the whole ball of wax. And let's take a look at that. But that'll never be done.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that it should, because all you hear are about increases, and it's already, I think, in my opinion, over the top. And I don't want to hear about, well, these teachers have master's degrees. I don't care.
I don't care.
I hear that argument a lot, and that makes absolutely, that's not relevant.
Yeah. Let's take a call from Jenny in Brownstown talking about roads. Jenny, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. And, you know, I know the roads need fixed, okay? Obviously, I know that, but the whole thing is shady the way they're going about it. I just don't, I don't trust Jennifer Snyder.
Jennifer.
The transgendered Jennifer Snyder.
There you go. Yeah, there's something funny going on, Jenny. There's money there. There's ways to get around it without jacking drivers up 20 cents extra a gallon. Because you know what? That's what will keep people from coming here and driving around Michigan in the summertime. If I'm going to go see the waterfalls somewhere in Ohio or Indiana or something, I'm not going to go to Michigan if I got to pay that much more for gas in this state.
Friends of mine that live out of state and they come here, they say our roads are the worst and our gas prices are always 20, 30 cents higher than what they're used to paying.
Yeah, and that tells you there's a problem. You know, there is a problem with the system.
Yeah.
You don't need more money to fix this.
And again, when the roads are, quote, fixed, they're torn up 2 years later and we start all over again.
Right. They don't do they don't fix them right in the first place.
Nope. Yeah. What a scam. You know, it's built-in obsolescence.
Yeah. How would you?
Also, the other thing I don't like is, you know, every election time, these districts are always wanting millages for schools.
Oh, yeah.
More and more and more for schools.
It's like a communist agitation. It never goes away.
It's ridiculous.
Communist. Boy, it's a day for communism, isn't it?
Well, those are my comments.
Those are your comments. Well, Jenny, if I don't talk to you next week or the week after, you have a very, very Merry Christmas.
You too, both of you. And
thanks.
I just want to thank you for having me come on, and you know, because I'm not saying any different than 99.999% of anybody else. So
you just say it nicer, Jenny. You just say it nicer. So there you go. We appreciate it. You're always welcome to call.
Well, you guys are fun. You guys are My friends, I really appreciate you.
Well, thanks, Jenny.
And Jenny, I hear you on the Appliance Doctor radio show. Good luck with that dishwasher and hot water tank.
Oh, I don't have a dishwasher. I was just calling about people that might want to know what I was curious about. No, I'm the dishwasher.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I just didn't like that whole concept of you don't have to rinse your dishes.
Yeah, you know, that's odd. Ever since I was a child, my mother and father said, you got to wash those dishes. You can't just stick them in the dishwasher.
No, I know.
And so I do to this day, you know. And if I have guests over who want to come help dishes, and they'll start, and I'll say, just stop. I'll take care of it myself because I don't want the food in the bottom of the dishwasher. And it get, yeah.
And I've never used a dishwasher in my life. I look at it like if I'm going to wash the dish before I stick it in, I might as well just finish the job and then put it away.
Yes. Yeah, so the way I wash the dishes, they're clean by the time they get into the dishwasher.
Well,
so I understand.
You let your dogs contribute.
I live with people that had, in dishwasher in the house, I would clean them dishes before I even stacked them in there.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you this. My dishes are probably worse putting them into the dishwasher because we have a dog. And the dog likes to lick the dish while it's sitting in the rack before I close the door. And I'm turning around and I'm like, get out of there, you stupid dog. Get licking the dish.
Well, as long as he doesn't pee on the dishes before they
mark his territory. I wouldn't pass that dog to jump right up in there and get closed in with the dishes one day. Dogs.
Well, anyway, I really appreciate you guys, and thanks for getting a little more serious and, having the show be a little more serious again.
Oh, well, thanks, Jenny, even though we just spent the last 5 minutes talking about dishes and dogs.
Dirty dishes and dogs. And
anyway, but I really appreciate, the stuff you bring up, and I will talk to you soon.
Thank you, Jenny. Appreciate it. Have a Merry Christmas.
Okay, see ya.
You too. Both of you.
Okay, so one other local thing I wanted to hit. I don't know if it's cause to celebrate or what, but I think economically it makes sense. The legislature is looking at letting bars here in Michigan be open until 4 a.m. The municipality will have to give it the okay as well, but I don't know. When we were in college, we died to have the bar open for a couple extra hours. Now I can't stay up past 11 o'clock anymore.
Well, here's the whole thing. You're right. When we were young, we would have loved that. But look what idiots we were back then. Now that we're old and don't want to put up with that and people that want to do that, I say forget it. 2 a.m.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, in downtown areas, maybe. It might be worth it. If you
not
get people,
in my backyard, though.
Yeah, I guess I would have to say that, too. You're going to always run into that. But I thought it was odd because, I remember in college, we went to Kalamazoo. We would drive to Chicago.
We thought that was great. 4 a.m.
Bar until 4 o'clock in the morning. So
that's what I'm saying, what idiots we were. You're going to go all the way to Chicago because you can drink for 2 hours longer.
We were true American patriots fueling the economy of the 90s.
I say 4 a.m. is fantastic as long as it's like maybe 100 miles away, in any direction away from my house.
All right, let's take a break. Derek, let's send us into a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the crazy nonsense being said by
everybody?
Yeah, at least out of Washington.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we'll see you on the other side.
Talk 1600 is your conservative powerhouse in Southeast Michigan and online around the world. Start your weekdays each morning at 6 with Bill Bennett's Morning in America, giving you the day's first look at the news-making headlines. At 9 a.m., Glenn Beck blazes the airwaves with his blockbuster radio program. Glenn, Pat, and Stu knock down the mainstream media's hype with humor and truth. At noon, Laura Ingraham pulls no punches and shines a light on the political insanity that dominates Washington. At 3 o'clock, shift into high gear with Wham's own Theron. On the Edge is unapologetic and common sense driven. It's the tough love truth America needs to hear. At 6 o'clock, irreverent, feisty, fearless. It's the Dana Show with the Blaze's Dana Lash, your conservative alternative. At 8 p.m., it's Jerry Doyle. Jerry cuts no slack for the left or right.
keep your radio tuned to Wham Talk 1600 AM and keep everything else at whamradio.com.
In some homes, the magic word is please. In our house, the magic word was always deal.
That would be Gordy, founder of ABC Warehouse.
Now, don't get me wrong. It's important to be polite, especially with customers.
He wouldn't have lasted 40 plus years without a little mismanners.
I do anything for my customers, even beyond giving them the best deals on appliances, TVs, and electronics.
He'd even lay his prized orange sport coat over a puddle for a damsel in distress.
Bring in any ad from the paper, magazine, or TV.
Don't bring in the actual TV. We just need the price.
And I'll beat that deal.
Gordy will beat that deal like it insulted his mother.
Folks, there's no reason to waste your time, money, and gas going anywhere else. Just come into ABC Warehouse first for the best deal right now.
ABC Warehouse, the closest thing to wholesale, the absolute best deals, guaranteed.
You can't get more polite than that.
This week at ABC, during the Countdown to Christmas sale, get a Frigidaire range for just $297 or less. The deals are in the house. ABC Warehouse, the closest thing to wholesale.
Young people everywhere are making a difference.
Special Olympics has changed my life so dramatically.
It's helped me a lot to be fearless, you know, in the real world.
My friends I've made through Special Olympics are the best people I've ever met in my life.
I truly realize that what I'm doing is for a great cause.
And it's not about disabilities, but it's about celebrating their abilities.
I've made a difference. Now it's your turn to make a difference.
Get involved at SpecialOlympics.org.
Yo, Daddy-O, they're inviting you to hang out with me as we strap on a level 7 musical buzz with the finest, finest, finest radio to be had in all the land. It is the Bone Conduction Music Show. Join me for the wig singeing rock, the hip-shaking soul music, and the industrial strength rhythm and blues. It's the rockin'est show on the radio. It's the Bone Conduction Music Show.
Join Theron for the rockin'est show on the radio. It's the Bone Conduction Music Show. Every Sunday night at 7 p.m. right here on Wham! Talk 1600.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. And what we do every Saturday is go over the news of the week, the stuff we put on the Daily Drift. Go to thedailydrift.com. And if you don't want to call into the show, you can email Gary at thedailydrift.com. I can read your comments on the air if you so wish. So in studio with me, Brandon Drake.
Hey, hey.
Hey. So let's get down to a bunch of the news of the week. We're going to save the Ferguson and all that stuff to the end because we get so wrapped up in it. I think they're doing it on purpose to keep us from talking about immigration and whatnot. And something I put up in the last couple of days was the number of deportations. Now, since Obama has come into office, we've seen how they like to play with the numbers, right? Unemployment. They're saying unemployment is down to 6-odd% right now. It's not. It's not. You and I both know that. They've changed how people are counted as being unemployed. If you no longer collect unemployment insurance, you are no longer counted as unemployed. If you have given up work and not working anymore, not looking for work, you no longer count. So when you add all those people in, unemployment is much higher than what the Obama administration says.
Well, to be fair, there's different measurements of unemployment, like you're saying. So I don't know for sure that they're actually lying about anything. It just depends on which unemployment number you're paying attention to. So like you said, if you've given up looking for work, then in the most often quoted unemployment number, you're not counted anymore. But I think all along they've had, I think it's like called U1, U2, U3.
Yes.
So if you want to include like everybody, people that are working part-time that want full-time work, people that have given up looking for work, people that are underemployed, you know, maybe it counts if you're working for
MBA
$8 an hour.
At McDonald's, yeah.
Yeah, when you used to be making $90,000, $100,000 a year. If you add all that up, then I think it's still in triple digits.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's huge. Well, they're doing the same thing.
Not triple digits, double digits, I'm sorry. Yes. Mountain Dew is talking. Okay.
We're doing it, dude.
Yeah.
Well, let's, before we move on.
We'd be in big time trouble if the unemployment rate was in triple digits. It'd make the Great Depression look like a fun time.
You're speaking like Nancy Pelosi. Yeah,
yeah. You're right.
Let's take a call from August in White Lake. He wants to talk about changes in state government. August, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys. Really enjoy it. I think the biggest question is a number of things, of course, that caught my attention as I was listening to the show. And, of course, right off the bat, education still, as far as I'm concerned, no accountability. We got the same thing here in Oakland County, big intermediate building, and that's all it is. It's all admin people.
Yeah.
So you think about it, every high school's got a principal. Some may even have more. You got assistants. I mean, seriously, I want someone to address what do all these people do.
Yeah,
it's layers and layers, and the people at the top end, like the heads, like I'm in Huron Valley School District. I'm just picking one. I pick any of them, and they're making heavy three-digit numbers.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Those top administration officials are always in the six-digit figure range. Yeah.
Well, even some of the school teachers. You look at Saline, Ann Arbor, Royal Oak. Some of these school districts. These teachers are making an average of upper 70s. Upper 90s, just in salary. Now you throw in benefits, the pensions, the health care. It's easily over $100,000 a year average for the teachers.
Yeah.
That, to me, is a lot of money. And like you're saying, August, let's see some accountability. Now, if you're a teacher that came from the private sector and you have real-world experience in, say, I don't know, chemical engineering, and you're going to teach at a high school level that is in an honors class, maybe you're worth some big bucks because you have the credentials. But if you're teaching third grade and you're teaching kids how to, you know, not eat Elmer's glue, and you're making $85,000 a year plus benefits, I've got a problem with that.
Well, and the bigger problem to me is not only accountability, but how does our average kids compare with the, I'm not kidding you. I can't tell you in the last 6 months, I actually went into stores. Simple math.
Mm-hmm.
They're not.
I'm seeing that too, August.
Not only high school grads, some of these are college graduates. I go to buy an iced tea, normally 97 cents, on sale for 60 cents. I give them $1, you know, obviously just so they have to give me back 40 cents, and they're looking at me like I'm, you know, how to do it.
Yes, I'll say I've seen it as well. At McDonald's the other day, and I won't say which one, there was a lady, I gave her the bill and some change to make back, and she couldn't. It freaked her out. Freaked her out that I gave her change to go with the bill, and then it screwed up the computer or whatnot. I couldn't. You know, yes, simple math has become like impossible for teens and people in their 20s. You know, I think they're so used to calculators or whatever. The computers do it automatically at a cash register many times.
Hey, I'm going to say I'm a former accountant, and as an accountant, you become so dependent. On at one point in time, you know, the 10-key type thing, and then you get dependent on spreadsheets, and a lot of the stuff is done for you that you still remember the concepts, of course, but put me on the spot, you know, I might struggle a little bit too.
Right, right. Yeah, well, great call, August. I appreciate
it. Well, that's just, Washington, that's another whole subject. The roads, as far as I'm concerned, there should be a serious investigation into the whole way the state handles the roads. Somebody's getting paid off at some very high levels. How can you redo? I mean, how many times are they going to redo Telegraph Road?
Mm-hmm.
They've redone Telegraph Road 8 different times in 15 years. I'm not kidding you.
Yeah.
Let alone smaller businesses that get hurt. You're shutting down. People can't get to it.
That's right. That's right. US 23.
Now you reopen Jeffries. I go on Jeffries. Oh, no, we did it under. It's like a roller coaster. Honest to God, the road, there's actually dips in it. And everybody's celebrating how they got it done so soon. I'm like, come on.
Yeah, 96 you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's some spots on that new 96 that I'm a little mystified in myself. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get it. But the problem is the thing is, how are we going to change it? That's the key.
Yeah. Well, it starts with us, August. We're running into a hard break. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Something tells me
you guys take care. Have a great holiday season.
You too. Something tells me we've built better roads in Afghanistan than we have in Southeast Michigan.
Probably. All right, we'll see you on the other side.
This is the Blaze Radio News. I'm Mike Craig. The war on terror claims another U.S. citizen. The Blaze Radio's Ken Stevens has that story.
Luke is a gentle and sensitive person. He is a romantic and always believes the best in people.
That's Lucy Summers pleading with Al-Qaeda terrorists to show mercy on her brother. The Pentagon confirming today that Luke Summers was murdered by the terrorists as a U.S. rescue mission fails. Word of Summers' death coming 3 days after the country's local Al-Qaeda branch threatened to execute him.
Protests in the wake of Eric Garner and Ferguson spreading across the U.S., the Blaze Radio's Greg Moore with details.
Protests again Friday night in New York and other cities over the lack of an indictment in the Eric Garner case. Garner dying over the summer after getting put into a chokehold by a New York City police officer. Protesters staging what they call die-ins around the city by lying down on the ground and staying silent for several minutes. Large demonstrations in Chicago, Miami, and Washington, D.C., snarling traffic and blocking roads.
Rolling Stone magazine apologizes for a recent rape story. The Blaze Radio's Tom Peace has our story.
Rolling Stone magazine apologizing to those affected by a story they ran recently. The magazine says there are apparent discrepancies in a University of Virginia student's rape account. Last month's story of a brutal gang rape by UVA fraternity members in September 2012 shocked the campus, leading to investigations and protests.
Heavy rain and strong winds coming to the Philippines today thanks to a powerful typhoon. Typhoon Hagupit has ripped off tin roofs, downed trees, and toppled power lines. And funeral services for former Washington, D.C. Mayor Marion Barry are being held today at the Washington Convention Center. Former four-time mayor Barry died last Saturday at the age of 78. This is news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives here.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Wham! Talk 1600 and the Salvation Army are conducting our 8th annual toy drive. The goal is to collect 1600 toys for 1600 girls and boys for needy children in Washtenaw County. Drop off your toys at our sponsor locations listed on our website, waamradio.com. Let's make sure every needy child has a wonderful Christmas. For more information, call 734-971-1600. 1600 extension 23. The Information Center's Holiday Assistance Program, Adopt a Family, is underway, providing holiday gifts for low-income families. This program matches families with community donors for extra assistance during the holiday season. The Adopt a Family program is supported by private donations, churches, and local businesses. Last year, 156 families and 25 seniors were adopted through the Holiday Assistance Program. 1,340 people were assisted overall with food, gift cards, and miscellaneous items. If you or your business would like to adopt a family or donate to the Holiday Assistance Program, please contact the Information Center at 734-282-7171. Family Life Services Clinic and Pregnancy Center, 2950 Packard Road in Ypsilanti, is in need of diapers at the center to give to clients who cannot afford them. To learn more about the Family Life Services Clinic and Pregnancy Center, including drop-off hours for diapers, call 734-434-3088 or visit women-helping-women.net.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham! Talk 1600.
To succeed in today's business environment, your business needs to be seen by as many customers as possible. The Current newspaper serves Washtenaw, Oakland, and Livingston counties. Advertising in The Current is the best way to get your money's worth out of your print media budget. The Current has grown 600% since 2007 because The Current has a unique venue for local content, common sense, and your business message. Getting your business message into thousands of homes utilizing The Current newspaper for mere pennies a piece is the best way to do that. And your ad is also seen online for free. Call Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current, at 734-629-6010. That's 734-629-6010. Or go to currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. Grow your business in print and online with The Current newspaper.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Brandon Drake in studio.
Always a pleasure.
And myself, the aforementioned host, 734-822-1600. If you want to call in and get in on this conversation, would love to have you give us your opinion. You can opine. Is that what O'Reilly says? Opine. Yeah. So we're talking about how the Obama administration fiddles with the numbers, and deportation is one of those. He keeps saying the liar in chief gets on and says, national television, we're deporting more people than ever. Lie. And I said it a couple weeks ago, it was a lie, because what they've done is they've changed how they define who's being deported. Now, it used to be two different numbers. If they caught you coming across the border, they just shipped you back. That's not a deportation. That's a catch and send back.
Yeah.
There's a difference. If you've made it across the border, you've been living here, doing whatever, and then we find you and get rid of you, that is a true deportation. The Obama administration has inflated the numbers by now taking those people they catch at the border in return and are calling them deportations. So we put a report on The Drift this morning, and it's up there.
So you're saying that anybody that comes off the jet skis is now counted in the deportation numbers?
Yes.
So Charlie LaDuff's, you know, jet ski piece is even more relevant than ever.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, it's again, a twisting of the numbers. It's changing, trying to fool the American public. This is not the most transparent administration ever, by any stretch of the imagination. They're liars. They change. They fiddle. They're trying to fool you into thinking that they're actually doing something they're not. According to this report, the Obama administration, deportations fell 14% in fiscal year 2014 compared to the prior year. And the Times said officials deported nearly 316,000 people in 2014, which is the lowest number under Obama so far. So it explains when he does this amnesty thing, he's ramping it down. You know, I'm not going to be getting rid of you people. Come on board. Come on in. And let's get more and more of you in here.
Hussein Obama, splain.
Hussein, explain.
Hussein, splain.
Yeah. So, you know, it's amazing to me that the lies can be so many, so rapidly on so many different fronts that you just get tired of hearing about it. Now, we haven't had a chance because of the Ferguson stuff and the Eric Garner stuff. We're not even talking about Benghazi anymore. You know,
Ben who?
Ben Gurion. Yeah, the IRS scandal. 30,000 emails have been found from Lois Lerner, the ones that they said disappeared. Now they're found. When are we going to see those? You know, it's not on the media's front burner. They're ignorant of it. They're not even asking the question.
Where's WikiLeaks when you need them?
That's what they should be.
Right.
Maybe they're the ones that found it. I don't know. But it's an outrage that not even the media can keep up with the lies, the nonsense, the smoke and mirrors. I mean, they're really throwing so much poo down the hallway at you that you can't see it anymore.
And again, too, part of this tragedy is that because it's a Democrat in office, even though we're talking about it, we're outraged about it, it's nowhere near what a Republican administration would receive as far as an onslaught from the media and the people.
Yeah. And here's another. So he's going to go through with his amnesty, and the Republicans probably won't do anything to stop it because maybe they can't or don't want to. But when we talk about those illegal aliens that are here, supposedly coming out of the shadows to live with their families in peace, the Internal Inspector General's office discovered that 89,700,000 bad W-2s have been used by illegal aliens. 89 million W-2s. That's 89 million people submitting bad W-2s for taxes.
One of the biggest scams in the recent years is if you, as a legitimate citizen taxpayer, are due a refund from the IRS. In other words, you have paid more than your actual tax liability is. And as we know it, after year end, that's all evened up. Either you owe some or you receive some back. And when you receive money back, that is your money that you overpaid throughout the year. And especially if you're an independent contractor, that's more often the case that you're going to either receive money back or have to pay some at the end. If you are owed a refund, there's the scam out there, often with illegals, that they will steal your identity and they will file and they will get your refund.
Mm-hmm.
And so you file your tax return and you're waiting for your refund, and instead you get a letter from the IRS saying that your refund has already been submitted to, obviously, somebody else.
Miguel.
Or Hussein. And it may take over a year and a lot of frustration to get it resolved.
Yeah, and this goes back to, I think it was maybe last winter, about this time maybe last year, when we were talking about there were thousands of illegal immigrants who were filing taxes, mm-hmm. claiming children they may have had here, but also the ones back home in Mexico, and getting these giant refunds based on the fact that they had 12 kids, none of them living in the United States. And so they would go and knock on the doors, and there was nobody living in this trailer, but there was IRS refunds, 12 or 13, going to this trailer that, you know, nobody was living in. It's just insane.
Yeah, and there's other scams like that, and some illegals coming in for the sole purpose of just renting an apartment and setting up P.O. boxes and doing the whole refund scam thing.
Yeah, and they're not going to find them. They can't. The IRS is as inept as it can possibly be. Let's move on, though. We've got plenty of time with tax season coming up. We're going to dig into it this year, and I'm probably going to get audited myself. I keep waiting for the Obama administration to say, you know what, there's that Mickey Mouse radio guy in Ann Arbor. Go get him. He's a pain in our butt.
You got this character in Ann Arbor. We show him.
Yeah, let's get him. Get that Drake fella, too. We don't know how he's living down there. Let's go audit him. He's probably hiding his money.
He's living in squalor. Leave him alone. He's one of the people.
He's an accountant living in squalor. Well, let's move on.
Unwashed. Part of the masses.
Let's talk about Hillary the empathizer. I wasn't even sure how to spell empathizer. I hope I spelled it on the website correctly today. But we've probably heard this on the news, and it's been pretty big the last couple of days. And maybe it's been taken out of context. I don't know. But we're going to play it for you. Derek, you got that track ready? Okay, this is Hillary, and she was talking in generalities about some other argument. But I'm not taking it out of context, because as far as I'm concerned, she was talking about foreign policy under her and what foreign policy would be like if she were elected president. So let's play that, Derek.
She is challenged.
Yeah.
This is what we call smart power, using every possible tool and partner to advance peace and security, leaving no one on the sidelines, showing respect even for one's enemies, trying to understand and insofar as psychologically possible, empathize with their perspective and point of view, helping to define the problems, determine the solutions. That is what we believe in the 21st century will change the prospects for peace.
Yeah, seriously?
So is she referring to ISIS and the Iranian Revolutionary Guard and Quds Force, that we're going to give them a hug and everyone's going to somehow come to a meeting of the minds?
But this is what her and Obama have been doing for the last 6 years, empathizing with the enemy. Yet there is no empathizing with people who cut heads off of other people with small knives. Let's just go there real quick, because this is what bothers me. It's one thing to cut somebody's head off, the guillotine, whatever, the big samurai sword. That was used for thousands of years as a way to kill somebody. Sawing people's heads off with these tiny little knives the way they do is meant for one thing and one thing only: terrorism, to scare you into submission. That's why they do it. It's shock value. And these people, there is no empathizing. There should be no tolerance for these people. They have no tolerance for us. So for her to even use the word empathize is an outrage. And that's what you'll get if you vote for Hillary in 2016. If you're a Democrat and you listen to that and still want to vote for her, you must be out of your loving mind to think that that woman will make this country any safer.
She, in her mindset, her you know, fellow people of that mindset think that somehow if you can empathize or reach out and understand and put yourself in their position, that there will be some tolerance from them and there will be a little bit of give and some negotiations. And there's no room for any tolerance because they are zero tolerant of us. It's a battle of ideologies, and the tactic of cutting off heads, like you said, is terror. But the bigger picture, their ideology is they don't care what you do, what you say, whatever feeble attempts you make to try to have peace, they want to slaughter you.
Absolutely.
Because you are the infidel, and other fellow Muslims, they're infidels as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to understand what motivates your enemy. That is something you have to do. You really want to kill your enemy, you need to understand them, think like them, and go for it. If you want to respect your enemy, you know how you respect your enemy? You kill them quickly. I mean, when we dropped the bomb in Japan, it's because we respected how tough the Japanese were. We knew the fight would kill millions upon millions of American and Japanese people.
Right.
Military and civilian. We would be killing millions. And we respected them enough because, you know what, they're dangerous. They're hardcore killers. We said, you know what, we're going to drop one bomb. Let's make it two bombs. It will kill a lot of people, but the shock value will be enough to say, yeah, I think we've had enough.
Well, you know what? That's interesting because the Japanese in World War II, the mindset that they had, they were fanatical for that era.
Yeah.
But, like you said, after the second bomb was dropped, even the most fanatical of the fanatics in Japan knew the war was lost, that they would have to surrender and make the best deal they could make. However, the enemy in the 21st century that we're dealing with, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, the offshoot of Al-Qaeda, which is basically an Arabic Taliban, the Taliban in Pakistan and Afghanistan, you could hit those people with nuclear weapons, and whoever survived, they would regroup and come at you again. Those people that survived would not come to the table and say, you know what? You got nuke bomb. We don't. We surrender. Let's talk. They still wouldn't.
Yeah, because
there's no way.
Because they're driven by religion.
Ideology, yes. Religious ideology. Yeah. They would have to be totally exterminated. There's no way that they will ever come and see your side of it. No matter how powerful you are, if there's somebody breathing, they're still going to come at you. And that is the whole basis and foundation of asymmetric warfare, where we're clearly more powerful in many areas, but if you're willing to die and you're willing to have your children put on bombs and die, then you've got some leverage.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take a call from John. John, welcome to the show.
Hi, you guys. Listen, I want to say something to everybody to understand what's going on here that's getting overlooked. If we go just like you said and we go back to before we had the United States, why did we leave these other countries? Why did the Polish leave? Why did the Russian people leave? Why did whatever group you want to say leave? Because of control and oppression, just like the government's doing to us now, taking everything away. So we came here and we agreed upon rules with the brilliant founding fathers who were of many different races. And they said, look, this, if we all agree to, you know, in the majority rules and we have a balanced system, you're informed and you can talk about the issues and then vote on it, then we live to that standard. And if not, you conform to the laws. And what you see happening is an erosion of this by keeping people down economically, down in academics.
John, are you on a speakerphone?
I might be. Let me push a button.
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit on us, John. Well, yeah, you're right, John. We've got problems that are just being continually ignored. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, and so you're hitting that idea in a way that well, like you do every week. So it's always good to hear from you. Anything else, John?
Well, yeah, I was just going to say that when you hear Hillary saying, you know, we've got to be understanding, you know, to even our enemies, just need to step back, like when I'm gonna, not sure about making that shot on the billiard table, even though I've played for 38 years, I step back and I regroup and I look at it for a moment. And what you have to understand is those people just salivate when they see you back down a little bit, and they're going to kill you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They're just going to come back harder than ever with comments like that. That's why we cannot have Hillary as president. Well, thanks for the comments, John. Appreciate it. We got to get a call from Rick coming in here. Rick, welcome to the show.
Hello. How you do?
Good, Rick. How are you?
I'm good. I was commenting. I belong to the ZOA, Zionist Organization of America. And 2 years ago, I saw a speaker, and he talked all about this ISIS and how Israel was going to handle it. And what they are doing is they are staying as far away from the situation as possible. Because it's a civil war between the Shiites and the Sunnis. They had the experience in Lebanon, and he said after that they will never become involved in another Arab nation. And I think that we just need to let this play out and let them have their war.
Yeah, you know, that's that isolationist mentality, and you know what? I've said for years, if you want to be an isolationist, there's a number of things you got to do first. Number one, you have to be completely self-sufficient on energy and goods and everything else. If you're going to cut yourself off from the rest of the world and ignore a force like that, because imagine if you do nothing and you let that spread, it'll go right through Turkey, and it's going to be just like the Crusades. They will be in Europe in no time because there are already tons of Muslims in Europe, and you don't think they wouldn't jump on the bandwagon if ISIS started knocking at the door of France or Germany? I think they would. So you got to be careful. I love the idea of isolationism, but you know what? I think in the real world, you can't ignore animals like this.
Hey, Rick, you know, we were kind of isolationists, if you will, regarding the Taliban when they took over in Afghanistan. Look what that got us. I'm not saying that you're going to have some invasion force come across the Atlantic and land on our shores, but when you allow a people like that with that mentality, that ideology, to establish a base, then they can send their people out on airplanes and land at our airports or get up to the unprotected border through Mexico or Canada and come across. There's no way you can leave that situation alone. Leaving people alone is not, in fact, it's not a guarantee that they're going to leave you alone. In fact, it's almost a guarantee that they will come after you that much more.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. You can't just ignore it. I mean, people gave Bush a lot of grief for going into Afghanistan and going into Iraq. I think if you had, you either fight there or you fight here at home. And I think thus far we've managed to keep most of them out. We've had terrorist attacks under Obama.
The Taliban, their mindset and their mantra, and also Al-Qaeda that was there, given a base to operate and train there by the Taliban, was we must take the war to America.
Yeah.
And they were able to do that because of all the funding, because they were left alone for the longest time until after 9/11, and then they were disrupted.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that that solved the whole problem, because they splintered out. They took refuge in Pakistan. We left Pakistan alone for the most part. Isolationist policy, in a certain sense, with Pakistan. Almost worse, though, we funded Pakistan that much more as a so-called ally, which, of course, we know they're not. They play both sides of the fence. They take our money. You know, capture or kill somebody every once in a while for show. But they allowed some of the worst groups on the planet to operate there. But we have kind of a hands-off policy with Pakistan. How well is that working for us?
Yeah. Anything else, John? Or Rick?
Rick.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I just don't think that we can have any effect in those countries between, the civil war that they want to rage. I'll give you an example. After the Iranian crisis, everyone thought that Iran would attack, we would have terrorism from Iran, but instead they engaged in a long war with Iraq, and were more focused on that than they were on us.
Yeah, that may be true, but you know what? When the extremists, well, I won't call them extremists, when the Muslim hardliners took over Iran, they weren't just willy-nilly cutting the heads off of children, and there was a little more civilization there than what you see with ISIS. I think you got two different animals there.
Well, Rick, you're forgetting the Shiite terrorism in southern Lebanon after Iran took over in Iran because they funded Hezbollah. And those operatives in southern Lebanon were taking American hostages, which were held for years.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I agree with you. But you know, Lebanon will fall because of this, the ISIS. Lebanon, Turkey is the original Islamic empire, which is probably on its way. And Egypt is the big one. Egypt, I don't think the military can hold them down for much longer.
Oh, okay, so taking your point there, and let's say that all that's true, which could turn out to be true, you're saying we should leave all that alone so that they have this huge caliphate to operate from and really come after us on so many levels and control oil and shipping lanes and everything else? We're going to allow Egypt to fall under an ISIS-type mentality so that the Suez Canal is controlled by them?
I don't think we can prevent it.
Oh. Defeatist mentality. No, you know what? We're going to go down to the last man fighting if that's what it takes. We can't just step back and say there's nothing we can do. It's Sunni Shiite politics and civil war. If we leave them alone, they'll leave us alone. No.
Yeah,
the world does not work that way, unfortunately. I wish it did, Rick, but it doesn't.
Yeah, I think what you'll see is if it reaches that point where Egypt teeters and falls under some Islamist caliphate or whatever, Europe will finally stand up because they know what's coming. You know what I mean? They'll be asking for our help, and so will the Russians. Because the Russians, you know, this is what always kills me.
When does Europe
Putin
not ask for our help and bash us at the same time?
Exactly.
Hey, you know what? The answer, once again, Canadian peacekeepers.
No. Stop it. Well, good points, Rick.
Yeah, thanks, Rick.
Appreciate the call.
Take care.
Okay, thank you for giving me the time.
Hey, you got it.
No
Take
problem.
Care, man.
Take care, man. It worries me. An isolation, it's the greatest myth. It really is. I love the idea. It'd be nice to just close your doors and say, you know what, the rest of the world can go to hell in a handbag. We're going to hang out. But you can't because they are going to – number one, you would have to seal the borders. Nobody
in,
nobody out.
You can't seal the border.
Yeah. You can't do it.
You can't seal the border in the sense that technology has evolved so much over the past 100 years and over the last 10 years especially. You can be living in Lahore, Pakistan, get on a plane, in a couple hours you're probably somewhere in Europe, get on a plane there, you're across the Atlantic. You can be in America in probably less than 8 hours.
Yes.
How are you sealing the border from that individual with a fake identification that's coming here that's highly trained? You can't.
Yeah.
And they know that.
It's a total myth.
Social media, the internet, all this garbage that we have to deal with now, it's impossible to keep those people in their place through isolationism.
Yep. All right, until next week, go to thedailydrift.com, stay abreast of the current news and information, and you know what? Inform yourself and be ready for the 2016 election. It's going to be here before you know it. See you next week.
Take care.